Yes, good morning. Can you hear me through the mic? Yes. Well, this is a very interesting panel, and I think it fulfills the name of our sponsors, the International Center for Law. We just heard from a lawyer. Religion, we first heard from a religious leader, and religion studies. So I'm the third, and maybe I'm the cleanup batter, as we say in baseball. I'm a social scientist, so I'm maybe a bit presenting quite a different presentation than many lawyers and religious leaders and advocates are used to hearing. So I will try to explain the study as best I can in ways that you can follow along, and then at the end I believe we'll have time for questions if there are any things that are unclear. I'll be speaking from several sources. First is a study that is sponsored by the Pew Charitable Trust and the John Templeton Foundation called the Global Religious Futures Project. It's part of a larger study funded by both of these foundations that aims to increase understanding of how religious change affects societies in the world today. I'll also be speaking from a book that was mentioned earlier called The Price of Freedom Denied, Religious Persecution and Conflict in the 21st Century. This just came out this year, and it's part of the Cambridge University Press series on studies in social theory, religion, and politics. First, a few findings from the book, and then I'll talk about the Pew reports, and then I'll conclude with a few more comments from the book. So in the book, we note that religion is a very common experience of people around the world. In the 1970s, at the height of the communist experiment in the world, perhaps that was the period when people that had no religion or said they had no religion was at its peak. Today, we estimate that more people are affiliated with religion than were affiliated with religion in the 1970s. A second bit of data to begin with is information on whether or not people around the world consider religious freedom important. We did a survey in a number of countries around the world and asked, is living in a country where I can freely practice my religion important? The percentage of people saying yes across the world is very large, ranging from 98% in Africa, where religious people are extremely active, to even 84% in Eastern Europe, where religious activity is somewhat less than in other parts of the world. But still, clear majorities of people express that they would like to live in a country with religious freedom. However, if we ask a second question, is it important to live in a country where I live in a country where others can practice their religious freedom, many fewer people say yes. 62% of people say yes, it's important that I can live in a country where others can practice their religion, but 76% say it's important that I can practice my religion. This is what, at least I've called in some papers I've written, the religious intolerance gap, and that's the space in which we find problems for religious freedom, the unwillingness to give religious freedom to others. So moving from some findings in the book to now talking about the studies at the Pew Research Center. A first study released in 2009 called Global Restrictions on Religion was a non-normative study, a little methodology here, where we ask a series of questions, and I brought enough of the books on the study for the delegates. I'm sorry if there aren't enough for all the participants, but we ask a series of questions of each country, and looking on page 98 in the book, you can see a series of 20 questions that each country was rated on based on information sources listed on this page using country constitutions, U.S. State Department reports, reports from the United Nations, human rights reports from NGOs such as Freedom House, Human Rights First, Hudson Institute, international crisis group reports. We looked at these sources and answered the questions that you find in the book. We did this not just for governments, but also for the actions of people in society. So if you look at page 112, You'll see the list of questions we ask about social hostilities involving religion in countries around the world. Again, using these sources of information to answer the questions. So that's most of the methodology I'll talk. There's many pages of methodology in the book and also available online. So our main finding was that about one-third of countries of the world have high or very high restrictions on religion coming either from governments or from social actors acting independent of government regulations or wishes. But because these 32% of countries where there are high or very high restrictions are generally very populous, we find that about 70% of the world's population lives in a country where there are high or very high restrictions on religion. Now, many of these restrictions affect minorities. One of our sources, Amnesty International, finds that Hindus face particular problems in Bangladesh. We find Christians facing problems in Sri Lanka. We find Sikhs facing problems in India. Or we can find Christians facing problems in India. Many times these restrictions are faced by the minorities in countries, and the majorities may not feel them as acutely, though sometimes they do. Now, that was the general findings that we had on religion around the religious restrictions around the world. The question that we've answered in our most recent study, which has attracted quite a bit of attention both from the news and from other sources, for instance, I briefed the Office of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon last week. I also gave a briefing at the United Kingdom's Parliament a couple weeks ago. The question was, what direction are these restrictions going? Is the world becoming more restrictive or less? So the period of this study was from mid-2006 to mid-2009. And so that's the period I'll be talking about. And this is an ongoing study, and we'll have more updates as we continue to do this project. But what we found is that in this period, from mid-2006 to mid-2009, restrictions increased in about twice as many countries as restrictions declined. So in about 12% of countries, restrictions went up. 6% they went down. But again, because the 12% of countries where they went up are very populous, about one-third of the world today lives in a country where restrictions have risen in recent years. And only 1% lives in the countries where restrictions have declined, and about two-thirds of the world lives in countries where restrictions have remained the same, which could be high, moderate, or low, depending on the country. I've been asked several times, what are some of the surprising findings? Well, one finding that many people find surprising is the number of countries in which religious groups face problems. And and Christians face harassment of some sort in the largest number of countries, 130 countries around the world, and Muslims face the similar problems in a comparable number of countries, 117 countries around the world. Other smaller religious groups like Sikhs, Zoroastrians, Baha'is, people that practice tribal or folk religions have faced harassment in 84 countries, Jews in 75 countries, Hindus and Buddhists in 27 and 16 countries respectively. There, the smaller number of countries where Hindus and Buddhists face problems is partly a reflection of the fact that they are more geographically concentrated in a few countries rather than spread throughout the world as Christians and Muslims tend to be. There's an interesting pattern, particularly for Jews. Among Jews, the top red bar that you see on the chart indicates the number of countries in which there was some harassment of Jews. But the bottom bar, the yellow bar, shows that most of the harassment Jews faced was social harassment from people in society rather than from governments. And some of this reflects many of the strong efforts that have been done to get governments to respect Jewish faith and protect, fight against anti-Semitism. Christians and Muslims, on the other hand, faced harassment from social groups and government harassment in somewhat closer numbers. One particular finding that people find interesting from our study is that the region of the world where religious groups are harassed most frequently or in the largest number of countries is the Middle East and North Africa. And in fact, in every country in the Middle East and North Africa, one religious group or another faces some sort of harassment. But interestingly, Muslims, the middle bar in the area circled, Muslims face harassment in the largest percentage of countries in that region compared with Muslims and Jews. And again, much of the harassment that Muslims face in the Middle East and North Africa comes from a majority branch of Islam harassing a minority. So if you look at Saudi Arabia, it may be the Shia feeling harassed from the Sunni majority. Or you look at Iran, and it could be the Sunnis facing harassment from the Shia majority. Or if you think of Egypt, it could be a Sunni group like the Muslim Brotherhood facing harassment from the government. Now, the countries where there are very high government restrictions in our study are Egypt, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Uzbekistan, China, Maldives, Malaysia, Burma, Eritrea, and Indonesia. Countries with very high social hostilities involving religion include Iraq, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Somalia, Indonesia, Nigeria, Bangladesh, Israel, and Egypt. And again, I need to emphasize that this is not a critique of any of these countries, rather an attempt to measure the concrete number of problems or restrictions on religion that come up in any one country, either from the government side or the social side. And sometimes these problems, these restrictions are supported by people in society, and some societies like high restrictions on religion. Once I spoke to a group of Saudi Arabians who had come to the Pew Research Center, and I said, in Saudi Arabia, you have very high restrictions on religion. And they said, yes, we do, and we think this is right. In China, when I speak to government officials, I mention that they have very high government restrictions on religion, and the response is, well, of course. Religion is something dangerous. We need to have high restrictions on it. So this is not meant to be a critique, but measure the level of restrictions we find. And many times the restrictions are localized. So in Indonesia, Aceh would have much higher restrictions than some other parts of the country, and that would affect the overall score. Now, in our study, we found that 14 countries were increasing in their levels of government restrictions. And some interesting notes in government restrictions are that a number of the countries where government restrictions increased were in the Middle East and North Africa. And this happened in the time period before Arab Spring. So the increased level of government restrictions on religion in countries like Egypt, Syria, Libya, were happening before the revolutions that even are playing out today. We're not saying in any way that these restrictions caused those revolutions, but it was part of the climate in which people were living and rebelled within. With social hostilities, there were some substantial increases in countries like China and Nigeria, but 5 of the 10 countries where we saw substantial increases in social hostilities involving religion were in Europe. These included Russia, the United Kingdom, Sweden, Bulgaria, and Denmark. And across Europe, we saw both an increase in anti-Semitism, we saw an increase in restrictions on Muslims from the social side or hostilities towards Muslims and new immigrant groups, but we also saw restrictions on smaller Christian minority groups in a range of countries, including France, where we saw an increase in government restrictions. Now, this list, the United Kingdom is on the list with countries like China and Nigeria and Russia, and Edward Storton from the BBC called me up and said, what's going on? How did the United Kingdom get on a list with these other countries that they're not usually on the list with? So he asked me to explain what's going on. Well, the explanation for what's going on is really to look at how government restrictions and social hostilities compare with one another around the world. In this chart, you can see government restrictions going across the bottom of the page, across to the right. So the further you are to the right, the higher the level of government restrictions. The further you go up the chart on the page, the higher the level of social hostilities involving religion. So a country like China is very far to the right, but somewhat low on the social hostilities side. And a country like India is very high on social hostilities involving religion, but a bit less restrictive when it comes to government restrictions. So among the countries that were most populous in the world, among these 25 countries, we saw an increase in 8 countries and no decreases in any countries in terms of restrictions. So we saw increases from China, and I'll talk about them in a bit more, Vietnam, Russia, Egypt, and Nigeria, where we saw increases in restrictions. And another point to make while we still have this circle up is that restrictions tend to be felt the most keenly by people in countries where you have both high government and restrictions and social hostilities involving religion. Now, in comparison, the United Kingdom is still in the bottom left-hand part of the chart, but we did see an increase in social hostilities involving religion in the United Kingdom. We saw an increase in government restrictions in France and an increase in social hostilities in Thailand. The measures that we use, we look not just at government policies, but actual actions by governments. So whether or not governments come in and bulldoze a religious building, a mosque, a church, a synagogue, a temple, whether or not they detain people who are engaged in religious activities, or they displace them from home, or even kill people related to religion. And again, perhaps it's not surprising that Middle East and North Africa is the region with the highest level of government restrictions on religion. Asia Pacific is second, but Europe has slightly higher government restrictions on religion than Sub-Saharan Africa. And in general, the Americas have the lowest levels of government restrictions on religion. So putting those same data into map, you can see the parts of the world that have the most intense government restrictions by the darker of the color. Now, some ways that governments restrict religion, there's many, and I'll just give a few examples. For instance, governments may prohibit worship as a practice. Worship practice is a general policy. In Chinese, they prohibited unregistered groups from meeting. There was a high-profile case just this Easter where they shut down a house church in Beijing. In Eritrea, which is an Orthodox majority, Christian Orthodox majority country, if you're a Catholic, Muslim, or an Orthodox, or evangelical, you have freedom to meet. But if you're not in one of those four categories, you face severe restrictions, imprisonment, including imprisonment from the government. In Afghanistan, if you convert from Islam to another religion, by law, you can be sentenced to death. There are a number of countries where, a large number of countries where religious literature or broadcasting is limited, and that has increased over the years. In Uzbekistan, both Muslim and Christian literature are restricted. Germany, along with several other countries, including France and even the United States, bans broadcast from Al-Manar television station in Lebanon because it broadcast anti-Semitic programs as well as other religious programs. There are a number of countries in the world that regulate religious symbols, including what people wear. In Iran, there's a morality police that patrol the streets to make sure women are wearing proper Islamic attire. In France, burqa ban has gone into place, and fines are levied against women who break the ban. Even in Norway, where we saw some tragic attacks by a lone gunman and bomber this summer, even before those times, there were some Muslim morality police patrolling the streets of Oslo. Now, this isn't government. This is now getting into the ways that societies can restrict societies can restrict religious freedom. And in fact, we find that in a large number of countries, in the majority of countries of the world, that there's some sort of harassment or even religiously based hate crimes occurring. In more than 130 countries, we find social harassment or intimidation of people based on religion or religious bias. Large numbers of countries have property damage as well as physical assaults involving religion. Again, the region of the world with the highest level of social hostilities involving religion is the Middle East and North Africa, followed by Asia Pacific, and then Europe, Sub-Saharan Africa, and then the Americas have the lowest level, though that's present in the Americas. And in fact, in the United States, by our measures, the United States has a moderate level of social hostilities involving religion. There's more than 1,400 religiously biased hate crimes pursued by the FBI every year, or reported to the FBI every year from local law enforcement officials. Looking at social hostilities around the world, you can see the countries where there are moderate or high levels by the darker colors. Now, some particular types of social hostilities involving religion have gone up in recent years. Mob violence has jumped from 19% to 26% during this time. In Indonesia, where there was a fatwa against the Ahmadiyya Muslim community saying that they do not have a right to practice, there have been a series of attacks on Ahmadiyyas who claim to be Muslims but aren't recognized as Muslim by Orthodox Muslims. And the Ahmadiyyas, this is a footage from Al Jazeera, where there was a gruesome beating and killing of Ahmadiyyas as the police stood by and watched. In the United Kingdom, there's tensions between Muslim groups and right-wing extremist groups that are looking to expel immigrants, and sometimes these groups clash on the streets and they turn violent. One aspect of religion-related hostilities that's covered by the news most frequently is religion-related terrorism. And we find that religion-related terrorism these groups have some activity in 74 countries, or more than one in three countries in the world. And in half of those, that results only in recruitment. But in the other half, there has been violence during this time period. This can range from suicide bombings that hit Iraqi mosques to targeted attacks on government leaders, as happened in Russia's Ingushetia region, where they tried to kill the president. You may remember the incidents in India where there were terrorist attacks targeting a number of hotels as well as a Jewish center in Bombay or Mumbai. Nigeria just recently had an attack by Boko Haram, which is seeking to have a more strict interpretation of Islamic law in parts of the country. They attacked the UN center in Abuja, the capital, just this summer. And in China, the social hostilities have been driven by a series of attacks that occurred before the Olympics and after the Olympics from what at least some are identifying as groups seeking to have an independent Xinjiang in the west of China. So this is a list of all the countries where there's religion-related terrorism, those that had incidents, and then those where there were active groups, but there were no incidents. And I could point to a number of countries on the right where there were no incidents that had terrorist activities just since our report has come out, including Morocco, Nigeria, and Norway, just on the right side of the screen. Now, I'm going to conclude with a few pieces of context to try to help give an understanding of where restrictions are rising and where they're high, and what kinds of situations and legal situations these occur in. So in our study, we code up every constitution of the world into whether it provides no protection for religious freedom, or protection for religious freedom with some contradictions to that. So a contradiction could be that in Afghanistan, as I mentioned, they say that you're free to practice your religious rights, but at the same time, no law can contradict the sacred law of Islam. And then by their interpretation, anybody who converts from Islam is an apostate, and the penalty for that is death. So you have freedom promised, but you have a contradiction because you have another set of laws, either religious or moral laws, that the overall law, religious freedom, has to be interpreted through. So in countries where there's no protection or contradictions for that protection, we found that more than 11 countries had substantial increases, but only 2 had substantial decreases. So it's not saying that the constitutional protections, the lack of protections, caused the increase, but certainly within countries where there is a lack of protection, we saw a greater increase in restrictions on religion. In comparison, among the countries where there were only some minor qualifications, such as religious freedom is provided so long as it doesn't contradict the laws of the country without saying there are moral laws or religious laws, that would be a qualification, or they clearly protect religious freedom with no qualification, we found that 6 countries decreased and only 3 countries increased. So twice as many countries decreased in those countries. Now, there's a particular kind of law where we find to be associated with higher levels of restrictions overall and an increase. And those are laws that punish blasphemy, speaking out against God, or apostasy, converting from a religion and leaving your faith, sort of like treason to your religion, or defamation or criticism of religion. So we call all those anti-blasphemy laws. And so looking around the world, there are about 1/3 of the countries of the world have such laws of one sort or another. And they're highest in the Middle East and North Africa. And they're both high. They have these laws and they're enforced in 60% of countries. In Europe, they're enforced in 30% of countries and present in another 7%. Asia Pacific, about 30% of the countries have these laws. In Sub-Saharan Africa and the Americas, these laws are somewhat rare, relatively rare. Now, in the 44 countries that have anti-blasphemy laws and enforce the penalties for these, 59% of these countries had higher, very high restrictions on religion. Among the next 15 countries that have the laws but don't enforce them, a similar finding. So the presence of these laws seems to be associated with higher government restrictions overall and higher social hostilities. But among the 139 countries where there are no such laws, restrictions and hostilities are relatively lower. Now, looking at how increases occurred in these countries, in the 44 countries that have anti-blasphemy laws, 23% of these countries increased in their level of restriction, only 2% decreased. Among the 15 countries that have the laws but don't enforce them, a similar finding. 27% of countries increased in their level of restrictions and 7% decreased. But among the 139 countries with no anti-blasphemy laws or policies, there was an equal finding. 6% increased and 7% decreased. Now, let me conclude with 3 last slides from the book that I mentioned at the beginning. First, we find that there is a clear connection or clear correlation between religion-related violence here going up the page and legal and policy restrictions on religion. So in the Americas, the European Union, where there's the least lower levels of legal policy restrictions, we also have lower levels of religion-related violence. In North Africa, South Asia, Central Asia, Middle East, where there are higher levels of government restrictions on religion, we also find higher levels of religion-related violence. But correlation doesn't mean causation. So one of the methods we used in the book was to use regression analysis and structural equation modeling, a statistical test, to look at what the possible causal pattern is within these restrictions. So we found that social restrictions on religious freedom, including restricted competition, leads to higher levels of government restrictions on religion, and then that leads to violence related to religion, and it can become a self-perpetuating cycle. So it's just like the example I gave in Indonesia with a fatwa, a government, a group sponsored by the government issuing a fatwa against Ahmadiyyas, leading to violence, and then that becomes a cycle of violence. So that connection between both what society wants and then governments enact, and then the results, see, that's one example of that connection. And the last slide that I'll lead you with, and this is probably the area that needs the greatest research, is that their religious freedom, if you look at the flip side, I've been talking about restrictions, but religious freedom is correlated with many other social outcomes, such as political freedoms, freedom of the press, civil liberties. But beyond that, countries that have higher degrees of religious freedom or lower restrictions in religion also have higher levels of gender empowerment, lower percent of GDP spent on the military. The U.S. is the one exception to that rule. Longevity of democracy, lower levels of armed conflict, overall livability is higher. And so this is an area of study I think that social scientists should begin to look at more. So with that, I'll conclude. Thank you very much.